The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter, and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town." The 72 returned rejoicing and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." Jesus said, "I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Being a missionary among the many indigenous tribes who live in the northeastern part of India, for many years being with them, I have experienced what the words of Jesus, "Eat what is set before you," means. Because living with those different tribes, I have had the opportunity to eat almost everything on the earth. Every parish in our diocese has many villages under it. Many of these villages do not have roads, electricity, or other facilities. It takes hours of walk, at times a full day's walk, to reach these villages, crossing hills, valleys, and rivers. It may be only once or twice a year that we get the opportunity to visit these villages and to give them the sacrament. Once I, together with a couple of sisters who were helping in the parish and with some children staying in the hostel, visited a village, starting our journey in the morning and reaching almost towards evening. And we were tired and hungry, longing to have some food and rest. These tribal people who are so poor, they survive on a meal in the morning and a meal in the evening, having just rice and some dishes. It was time for the evening meal, and we were longing for it. We were offered a plate full of rice and a dish of leaves cooked with some dry meat. It did not look very tasty. We were hungry, and therefore we did not bother to find out what this dish was. I remembered the words of Jesus, "Eat what is set before you." And we ate it because we were hungry. We presumed that it must have been some dry meat of wild birds. Well, after the meal, we were sitting around the fireplace that they used for cooking their meal, and we were having conversations. And then I noticed something hanging over the fireplace, dried with long tails. It was then that I realized that what we had, that dish, was dried rats. They had caught from their rice field. Before going to bed, I asked the sisters, "Did you know what you had eaten?" The sisters said, "I think it was some birds." And I told them, "No, it was a rat." And they almost threw up. Well, last Sunday we had reflected upon the call to discipleship and the cost to discipleship. As St. Paul says, being crucified to the world, and the world being crucified to us as disciples. The gospel today speaks of the Lord appointing and sending out the 72 in pairs to every town, place, and villages he intended to visit, giving them many instructions, sending them with power and authority. By asking them not to take money bag or sack or sandals, Jesus wanted them to totally rely on providence in their fulfillment of the mission. They were to greet everyone with peace. They were to stay in the house where they are welcomed and eat what is set before them. Jesus wanted to train them to concentrate on preaching the gospel with the least expectation for comforts. Jesus tells them, "I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." He warns them of the danger of being attacked, challenged, opposed, questioned, and rejected, which I myself have experienced during those missionary journeys into those tribal areas. However, he tells them not to be frightened, not to be dismayed before them, because his power is with them. He tells them not to be discouraged or frustrated or be angry over those people who refuse to accept them or their message. They were to be messengers of peace. The Lord says, if anyone does not deserve their greetings of peace, it will return to them. Therefore, They were not to lose their peace over the behavior and rejection and response of few such people. They should not give up, but continue being focused on their mission and move on. The readings of today remind that every Christian is called to be a missionary, and the Lord who has called them empowers them to be his true disciples. We are all appointed and sent out as messengers of the gospel with the duty to share the good news with everyone to establish the kingdom of God. It is not only a few selected, such as bishops, priests, or the consecrated men and women who have this duty, but all the baptized share in this mission. The mission of the church is the mission of everyone, the person sitting at the last pew as much as the priest celebrating the Eucharist at the altar. Unlike in the past, today the late participation in various ministries have brought about new vitality to the mission in the church. The mission of the 72 symbolizes the mission of everyone who is baptized. And as they were sent to those towns and villages to give a foretaste of the visit of Jesus himself, each one of us is called, appointed, and sent with the mission of giving others a foretaste of the goodness of the Lord through the life that we live. Proclamation of the gospel is not a choice, but a privilege and an obligation for every Christian. St. Paul understood this very clearly, and that is why he could proclaim, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." So it is for us too. Woe to us if we do not preach the gospel through our life. The gospel presents the disciples returning, rejoicing and boasting that even the demons subjected to them. But Jesus tells them to rejoice not over these achievements, but in the fact that their names are being written in heaven. They were not to boast of what they were able to achieve, but to rejoice that their faithfulness has won them great reward in heaven. St. Paul in his letter to the Galatians, as we heard in the second reading, says that there is nothing in him that he could boast of. As he says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." All that he could boast of was the mercy of the Lord manifested on the cross, which he experienced to the full. He attributed all his accomplishments to God's grace and mercy. So too, our boast should be only in the goodness and mercy of the Lord that we have received. All that the Lord requires from us is faithfulness to the mission he has entrusted to us. The mission to share God's love and mercy through our love and service to one another. Saint Mother Teresa used to say, "God has not called us to be successful, but to be faithful." Yes, all our success, all our achievements in life will be nothing if they do not result from our faithfulness to God. We need to pause for a while and ask ourselves, what do I boast about? Or what is it that I rejoice over? Is it my talents, my abilities, my achievements, my knowledge, my wealth and possessions? Is it my family, my friends, or my social status? What do I boast about? Can I boast of the goodness and mercy of the Lord in my life and say like St. Paul, "I am what I am because of the grace of God"? The Lord says, rejoice. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Well, it is for each one of us to ensure that our names are written in heaven. No one else will do that for us. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ,